It's a new year, and we're happy, but we're not saying Happy New Year.
Nope. In a little bit, you're going to find out why that's even funnier, because Brittany's going to shed some light on the whole phrase, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Just wait for it.
Just wait for it.
But before we want to get into our guests for today, Shane and I have some cool stuff happening in 2019.
Yeah, we are bringing it. We've been working really hard on some super cool projects that we can't wait to share with you guys. But our first and foremost that's coming up soon is the launch of our newsletter. Yes! So we are going to be dropping all kinds of Zen nuggets into your inbox the 15th of every month. So if you haven't already signed up for the newsletter, please head on over to our Instagram, our Facebook. You can send us an email at getzen@crazyzenlife.com. We will add you to the email list, but trust me, you don't want to miss a single minute of what this newsletter is going to bring to your life.
Shannon, what kind of stuff can they find in the newsletter?
Oh, Brittany, I'm so glad you asked. We're going to be bringing you a yoga pose of the month. We're going to bring you a recipe, something that Brittany and I have put our own little Zen spin on, something that we either cook in our own kitchen, things that our kids really like to eat, things that we really like to eat, things that make us just feel all the happiness that we're trying to, you know, promote into our lifestyles. And then we're going to be doing like some guest feature highlights. So if we've had some really cool guests on that have up and coming events or projects that they're working on that we think you guys as a community are going to enjoy, we're going to be sharing all of that stuff with you guys.
And we'll also be profiling some of the stuff that we use in our everyday life, or maybe our top picks of the month. So yes, it's going to be ever-changing, ever-evolving, and lots of fun info from Shannon and I. And we are really excited to share that with you.
Yes. So, ooh, and style tips. We've got some fun style tips. I know.
We always love a style tip.
I know. Studio to street. That's what we're doing.
I know. You would not want to see us right now, but but sometimes when you see us, it's like,
It works out. It's, you know, okay. It's balanced.
We can't hit it out of the park all the time.
We're embracing the crazy one day at a time.
So we're excited to bring you our first guest of the new year.
Yes.
Tell us about.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I'm super, so excited for this. When Brittany and I first started the podcast, this guest was like on the list of like big, hairy, scary goals of like, oh my gosh, if we can get this person on, I would probably have like a fangirl freak out moment because this would be super cool. And today we got to live that moment. I'm so excited. So just to give you a little backstory, a year ago when we started our journey on the plant-based lifestyle, we were trying to come up with recipes that fit our taste buds, because sometimes, I mean, not, you don't need a kale salad every day. I mean, as much as I love kale, I can't eat it every day all the time the same way. So I was looking for things that could really help bring some excitement into the plant-based foodie category. And I stumbled upon the Edgy Veg cookbook, and I loved it. The girl on the cover was super cute, and she, you know, like the reviews were really fun. So I ordered it even without trying a single recipe. And I'm telling you, everything that I have made from this cookbook has been a home run hit. I mean, our favorite chili recipe came from this cookbook.
You want to lick the bowl?
You really want to lick the bowl. I mean, I literally have at least three or four go-tos that are in rotation in my house every 2 weeks.
Like, one of the roasted veggies are, oh, I still, so like, good. It's still one of my favorites.
Yes.
With the tahini sauce. It's amazing. So I was super excited to have her on. And you fall in love with her recipes, but then her quirkiness and her fun attitude makes you just want to come back for more.
Yep. She's it's like she's one of us. You know, like she's down to earth. She's open. She's honest. She's just not trying to feed you any bullshit. She just wants you to, you know, to enjoy life the way that you want to enjoy it. Candace Hutchings, The Edgy Veg, repurposes your favorite recipes and adds tasty vegan alternatives that are sure to keep you coming back.
Her cookbook, The Edgy Veg, is designed to please meat eaters and plant eaters alike.
With over 311,000 YouTube subscribers and 15.2 million views on her YouTube channel, this quirky culinary cutie keeps it real in the kitchen. And her YouTube channel was recently voted the best in-home cooking show by the Canadian Taste Awards.
Enjoy, Candace.
Hey Zen friends, welcome to Crazy Zen Life. I'm your host, Brittany Swan.
And I'm your host, Shannon Kessler. Join us as we navigate life on and off our yoga mats.
All right, guys, we're back in the studio. It's a new year,
new month, new week, and all of our kids are back to school.
Thank goodness. I mean, I really enjoyed the break. We did a lot of fun things. I feel like we checked a lot of boxes, but that mom bucket is so full right now. I'm ready to dump it and get those kids out of here.
Speaking of boxes, like you cleaned out like a ton of boxes of the storage unit.
I did. Oh my gosh. So our basement was a certified shit show for the longest time. Like you could barely walk into that thing. And I had had enough. I've been procrastinating this for 2 years. And I said, no more. 2019, this is it. So I literally spent 5 hours on Saturday cleaning that thing out. And I think when we counted, we had 22 bags of trash. And over, I think we have like 25 bags for like donating like things.
Yeah.
So I feel so cleansed and like, I just feel like a weight has been lifted. And I love when that feeling happens and you just like purging is cleansing and you just feel like the bad things are out and now it's time to put the good things back in, which leads us to one of my absolute favorite things we get to talk about today. On our show today, we are honored to have Candace Hutchings, who is the Edgy Veg. And she is, I know I have a big girl crush on this girl.
Like, this was like Shannon's in the beginning when we decided to start a podcast. She was like, wouldn't it be cool if we had the Edgy Veg on our podcast? And I was like, yeah, but like, it's going to be a long time
before that happens.
So it's really, really amazing that it's only taken us 5 months to get here. I thought it would take years, but yeah. So she literally wrote the book. We have it. We go by it. It's Shannon's Bible. I'm not joking. She's like, well, let's see if the Edgy Veg can figure out something like this. Mm-hmm. So we're super excited. So welcome, Candace.
Thanks so much for having me, ladies.
Yay.
I love that intro.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's the truth. I mean, when I decided that I was interested in the plant-based lifestyle, I couldn't find anything that really resonated with my palate. Because, I mean, I like to feel like I'm not being deprived of things. If it's going to be a lifestyle, I've got to feel like I can live my life in this food style. So I Googled, just plant-based cookbooks, and you popped up. And I'm like, oh,
she's fun.
She's fun. I like her. She's kitschy. The Edgy Veg. What a great name. So when I clicked on it, I immediately ordered the book. And I don't even think I even like made any of your recipes prior to ordering the book. I was like, I feel like this is it. I feel like this is the book that is going to take me where I need to go. And lo and behold, I mean, it is got stains on it, like ripped pages now.
Weird coupons. Put it in it.
Those are my bookmarks. I literally have like a Third Love bra coupon that is, it is the what holds my place for the Super Bowl chili. Like
that's amazing. That's definitely the sign of a good cookbook. I have shared mine at the end of my videos and it's like falling apart. And I always have to kind of give the disclaimer of like, this is the sign of a well-used cookbook. It's not that the cookbook keeps falling apart.
That's so true. That's so true. So what led you? So I did a little bit of research before dropping you in, and I did hear that you used to live in, or you grew up in Europe. Am I right? Or you used to live?
Yeah. So my mother's German and my dad is Canadian. So I was born and raised in Germany. I lived there for a little bit of my childhood. And then we moved to Canada. And then we moved back to Germany. And then we moved back to Canada. So every 2 years now, I still go back and visit my family over there.
Oh, that's cool.
That's amazing. Yep. So was like being plant-based, was that something normal over in Germany? Or is that something you took on when you moved to Canada?
So it's not real. I mean, it is now. They're definitely leading the industry in a lot of ways. But at the time, no. And like German food is like meat and potatoes based. But my mom was more or less vegetarian when I was growing up. It was part of her religion. She didn't eat pork. So we really only ate meat when we were with my dad. My parents got divorced. So I think that's kind of where it came from because I mean, when I was in college, I experimented with meat and it wasn't for me. So that's kind of how it started. But I don't think it was a European thing mostly. I think it was more of like, it was her religion at the time. But yeah.
Wow. That's really cool. So when did you decide to go full throttle into being vegan?
It was about 9 years ago. when it wasn't as popular as it is now, which is why I started the blog in the first place. Because, I mean, I think we talked about this a little bit earlier. There wasn't really anything out there. And I was like, if this is going to be my lifestyle, I have to be able to eat food that I like, because I'm a foodie. Like, I'm a foodie first. So that's why I started it, because we didn't have all these amazing products that we have now.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, what were your, so 9 years ago, what was the biggest challenge you found trying to incorporate this and make it a lifestyle? Because I'm sure that you could eliminate some things, you know, and that was probably easy to get rid of dairy or maybe stop eating meat. But like, how did you find that you could sustain yourself being plant-based?
The hardest thing was definitely cheese. I mean, I'm European.
Am I right? Oh my gosh, the cheese.
Yeah, that was a hard one. Like, I grew up eating, like, cheese was like a meal. Like, lunch was cheese and like tomatoes on bread. So that was definitely the hardest part. The meat part was easy for me because I never grew up eating a lot of meat anyway. But yeah, it was cheese for me. A lot of things I felt like I could replicate. I always ate a lot of pastas, and a lot of the meals I found were easy to make vegetarian, but vegan was really the hardest part for me. I mean, I grew up drinking soy milk as well because my sister was lactose intolerant. So that was an easy one. I feel like I kind of got the easy way out growing up the way that I did. Yeah. But yeah, cheese was definitely the hardest one until we started to get all these like beautiful cheese makers making these plant-based cheeses.
Do you have a favorite plant-based cheese?
Oh gosh, there's so many of them. I feel like in Toronto, we're super blessed. We have a lot of these like artisanal cheesemakers in town. But for ones that are more readily available, like Miyoko is to for.
That's our jam.
Kite Hill, like what is happening over there? And Follow Your Heart and Earth Island, like that Parmesan. Oh my God.
So it's like, it's nowadays you don't even really kind of miss it. Like, we can make a bomb ass grilled cheese and no one is the wiser.
Exactly.
Like, you can't even tell.
It's amazing. Like, we've come so far from 9 years ago when I was like hiding pizza and eating it in my closet.
Oh, that's hilarious. You're like, I'm not ready to give it up. I'm not ready to give up the pizza. So you made the vegan switch, you went full throttle, and then what happened? So how did you make the crossover to bring this into the culinary world?
So, yeah, I mean, pretty much it was that I couldn't find anything really out there that I enjoyed. At the time, a lot of the vegan blogs were also raw vegan, which, like, that's cool, but that's not how I eat. I need my food to be cooked. I live in Canada. It's cold like 6 months out of the year. So I just started experimenting. I always knew how to cook a little bit. My grandmother was a fantastic cook. My mom was always experimenting. She was like one of those like original hippies. So she was like a no salt, no sugar, like no oil type of cook. So I found myself escaping to my grandmother a lot to get those flavors. So she really taught me how to cook. And I just used a lot of those concepts and just tried to make them vegan. I mean, for me, I found a lot of people were trying to reinvent the wheel, so to speak, when it came to vegan cooking. And I just found that if you use the same flavors and the same techniques, you can really replicate all of your favorite meals. It's just a flavor profile that we're looking for, right? So that's kind of how it started. So I started with a blog, which I didn't think anyone was going to read. It was really just an online place for me to keep my recipes. People started reading it, which was amazing. Then YouTube became a big thing. And naturally, that was the next step. So I tried that, even though I was insanely camera shy. The first few videos ever filmed are the cringiest thing you will ever watch on the internet. And it just kind of exploded from there, which is amazing.
Did you have like one recipe that went viral, or was it your, I mean, I know that you said you started with the blog and then YouTube really launched, you know, your social media career, but was there one recipe that people kept coming back for time after time?
The first big thing that made a pretty big splash was the McDonald's series. So I veganized popular McDonald's dishes. It was my first dive into seitan. So I kind of became like the seitan queen.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah, that's what did it. I I don't know. All these people were complaining that seitan recipes online were terrible. And I guess I just figured out a way to not make it that way 9 years ago. So yeah, it was definitely the McDonald's series and the chicken seitan that launched that. People went nuts for it.
Well, I understand why, because it tastes incredibly similar to what you would get at either of those restaurants.
Well, that's the goal. So I'm happy to hear that.
That was the goal. That was
nailed it.
And you're right. The flavors are still there. One of our favorite recipes, to go back to the cookbook, and then is the chili.
Yes.
We have cooked this, or we have made this several times, because Shannon and I live next door to each other. And we have like little potlucks and stuff, and no one can tell. You don't miss any of the meat. You really get all the flavors. Like, it has been one of the go-to recipes, especially in my house.
Well, yeah. And I'm not like, me and maple syrup, we're not friends at all. So when your recipe called for it, I was like, oh no. But I was like, in Candace, we trust. Just go for it. Just put it in. And I'll tell you, I can't believe what that does. Like the flavor profile that creates in that chili is, I mean, you would miss it if it wasn't there. And I'm so thankful that you did that.
Yeah. It makes me so happy. I mean, I think the greatest gift to us as plant-based eaters is definitely veggie ground round.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what would we do without that?
I'm not sure. We'd be eating a lot more mushrooms, I think.
Well, so anyway.
I want to go back to a little bit about YouTube, because I dove in deep of your YouTube. I mean, it's like, and it is like its own little pit. It's like its own, like, just like Instagram, you can dive in this weird hole. So how did you know, as you know, you're getting into cooking, how did you know to like YouTube was the next step? Or did you just stumble upon it?
I just watched a lot of YouTube. I watched a lot of comedians. That's kind of what was on YouTube back in the day, people doing skits and trying to launch their comedy career. And I've always been, I mean, I think I'm funny. and they do say if you make yourself laugh, then that's the number one goal. But I was watching a lot of YouTube, and there were a couple people, Eco Vegan Gal, The Vegan Zombie. They were kind of the original vegans on YouTube, and I would watch a lot of their videos. And just kind of was like, oh, there's not really a lot out there other than these like two accounts and then all these comedians. Like, I could do this. I mean, I don't know how I thought that given the camera shyness that I had and zero equipment, but I just kind of, I tried it out, and it kind of blossomed from there. Now everybody's doing it, which is amazing because there's so many people to watch, but it definitely was a learning curve for a while.
What were some of your pitfalls in the beginning that looking back, you're like, oh boy, could those just please be deleted?
Oh my God. Just my shyness. I mean, I have this thing about, I mean, I still have it when I get my photo taken. Now I'm more comfortable behind a camera if we're doing video, but I've always had this weird like stage fright thing. So I will be a certain way, and then there's like a group of people there to film, and I'm like, ah, I'm so uncomfortable. So that took a long time to get over, and you can definitely tell in the first few videos that I was definitely shy and trying to be something that I thought that the internet wanted. And then when I just kind of decided to be myself and practice a lot, I mean, practice makes perfect with everything, get over the camera shyness, that's really when it started to develop. But yeah, it definitely was at first like trying to be something that I wasn't, and then getting over this crippling fear with the camera.
It is a crippling fear. When Shannon and I do any kind of, she's really natural in front of a camera and all this kind of stuff. I feel like I'm like awkward. So I always tell her, I'm like, if you could have like a sniper camera, like pop out from like a bush, that's when I'm my best self. But if like you're having me like look at the camera, I'm like, I'm awkward. I'm just like one of those extrovert introvert people. So I can totally relate.
Oh, that's exactly me. Extroverted introvert. I mean, and that's, I was trying to hide the awkwardness for years. And then I had a friend that was just like, why don't you just like let your awkwardness like fly? And people like that. There's so many people out there that kind of, that's their thing. And I was like, no, nobody wants that. And I tried it, and apparently people like it. So that's nice.
Well, 10 million people like your awkwardness. So I think you're doing it.
I think you're owning the awkward. You got the awkward box definitely checked.
Yeah, you love it. So as you started building, you know, you were archiving recipes, and, you know, you created this great community, you know, through YouTube. When did you decide that a cookbook was the next step?
I had been approached by a lot of different publishers. And for me, for a long time, I was like, why would I do a cookbook? Like, people get my recipes for free. Why would anyone buy it? I don't want this. They make no money. And then it was my now ex-husband that kind of was like, this is just the natural progression of the thing. It's like, it's a marketing tool. It's, you know, to broaden your audience so people have like a tangible thing that they can hold on to. And he's like, Julia Child had one. What, you think you're better than Julia Child? So I finally was like, you know what? Okay, let's do it. And then when I found the right publisher that was willing to do what I wanted, I mean, I was very specific. I wanted a photo for almost every single recipe because I own a ridiculous library of cookbooks. And if there's no photo, I'm not making that damn recipe.
I agree.
Yes.
Right? So I had a lot of kind of stipulations like that, that I kind of throw out there. And when I found a publisher that was like, okay, we can make this work. We can make this work. We'll talk about this. That's when I decided to do it.
You really get your voice in the cookbook, which I don't find a lot of, like even in like the, you know, certain things, like how to, I don't know, like you're like, who is the edgy veg? Like your personality really comes out. So I think that you find the right publisher was definitely the good call. Cause
yeah.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. That was a huge goal for us.
You flip through it and you definitely can see like the quirkiness. And again, I think that's why you resonate so well with us is that like, oh, she's just like us. You know, like she's throwing spaghetti sauce everywhere and you're trying to roll a meatball down the counter.
Yes. We don't do anything with perfection. And I think that's why you always spoke to us. So hats off to you. Oh, Julie Chapman got nothing on you, girl.
Right?
I mean,
you're not having fun. What's the point?
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay. So the finished product was fun, but how many times did you want to quit along the way? Like how many times was it so hard? You're like, you know what? Screw this. I'm over it.
Oh my God. Like every day. So we wrote the cookbook in 3 months, which is unheard of in the publishing world. I think all together start to finish, it was like 8 months total with photos and everything. It was hard. And I was planning a wedding at the time and I just adopted 2 dogs. It was a whole thing. And that was because I wanted to get it out before Christmas. I didn't see a lot of cookbooks on the market that was doing what we were doing. So, it was really difficult. I was recipe testing 6 recipes a day, multiple times. And I mean, now I can look back and laugh, but it was a hard go for a while there. I definitely learned how to function without sleep. Now I take advantage of all the sleep that I can. But
are you like dreaming of like recipes in your head, like as you're sleeping, you're like, I should change that.
I was cooking in my sleep. Like the rare time I would find like 3 hours to sleep, I was definitely like cooking in my sleep, dreaming of recipes and like failing recipes. I would wake up some days being like, wait, did that recipe work yesterday or did it actually fail? Which one was the dream and which one was real life? What's happening? But then I hold the cookbook and I'm like, it was all worth it. And it was such a great experience. And I really got to
literally pregnancy. No, you don't have kids yet, but that is literally like what it's like. You romanticize like what it was like. You're like, oh, I can do that again. It's okay. Yeah. That was, you know, it was all worth it. So your cookbook releases. So how did your brand, did you have a branding strategy after the cookbook was released?
Yes and no. I mean, we definitely had a marketing strategy. We had a book tour. And I just, for me, it was just getting out there and meeting as many people as I could, going to, you know, the local shops and doing book signings and that sort of thing. Just getting the face out there. I find a lot of people resonate with you a lot more when they see that you're an actual human being. So that was a big thing for me that was super, super important. But I already had the brand, right? So then it was just a matter of getting the subscribers on board and getting them to buy it for their friends and family that are meat eaters because it's all carnivore approved.
Yeah. Where did you come up with the name Edgy Veg?
It was, you know what? It was because a lot of the people online that were vegan were like the stereotypical, like hippie, I eat millet every day and drink kale smoothies. And that just wasn't me. Like I was like a techno punk rocker, like I wore like fishnet stockings and and like head of the mouth of a sailor. So that's kind of how it was developed.
Yes.
That's awesome.
You're speaking to our tribe right now. They're like, yes.
If you're not dropping four letter words throughout your day, you're probably...
You're not living your life.
You're
right.
Not living your life, right?
You can't live your best life without four letter words.
You're not making any mistakes, and you have to make mistakes to live your life. So there you go.
100%. I mean, we don't live in Canada, and do you get noticed like when you're on the street out and about trying to have my best Canadian? Do you get recognized?
I have been, yeah. The festivals around here, definitely. But the other day, actually, I was walking. I have three dogs and I was walking them, and somebody was just like, hi, Harley. Hi, Winston. And I was like, who is this person? And then they're like, oh, hi, Candace. Sorry. I know that's really creepy, but I watch your YouTube channel. And I was like, oh my God.
That is hilarious.
So it definitely does happen. I was having a debate with a girlfriend on the street, and I yelled something about Hitler at her as a joke. And then somebody turned around and was like, Candace? And I was like, this is why I can't leave my house. Well, it definitely happens.
That is hilarious. So, so I've recently noticed that your Instagram has taken, which I love, you've taken on a different voice, which is basically like yesterday's post, like showing your real self. Which I think I'm so appreciative of. Like, I think we need more of that. Shannon and I try to offer the most authentic Brittany and Shannon we can. We don't really love perfection. So how has that, like, how has your social media morphed over the last maybe year or so?
Yeah, I, over the last year, I developed a lot of anxiety issues. And I've always been a big perfectionist. I've always had anxiety, but with the divorce and everything, it definitely got a lot worse. And I just found that my need to be perfect, quote unquote, was starting to stop me from doing things that I wanted to do. Like I wouldn't leave the house without makeup on. And I wouldn't post photos because of like one thing that I didn't like. So for me, it was a big, huge, important goal for me to be like, we're just people and other people must feel this way. And we live in a world where we are only showing like the most curated, perfect versions of ourselves online. And I think for especially young women, that's super destructive because they look up to these people that they think are perfect and they don't know what these people are struggling with. So for me, I started talking about my anxiety and my depression issues and the way that I cope with them and what that looks like. I stopped wearing makeup every time I would turn the camera on. And that was really terrifying at first, but super liberating because now I'm like, I have an extra 30 minutes. I don't have to put on makeup.
Really do. Yeah.
But for me, it was super important that we show like, it's okay to make mistakes. And it's okay to not be quote unquote perfect or what society defines as perfect. And like, let's all just like take it easy and laugh at ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's a lot easier to laugh when you realize that, you know, people aren't necessarily laughing at you. They're laughing with you if you're the loudest laughing person in the room.
Exactly. So yeah, like you said yesterday, I posted outtakes from photo shoots that I had done and I posted these like photos, you know, one every 10 is beautiful. And I'm like, ooh, I didn't know I could look like that. I'll post that because it makes me feel good about myself. But then I was looking at all these hilarious outtakes that made me laugh hysterically. And I'm like, these are what I actually want to share with people. Yeah. This is who I really am.
I agree. I mean, I think that like most of the time I have like one eye kind of like crooked and like the lazy eye or, I mean, some of Shannon and I's outtakes are embarrassing, but, and we started like showing more of that. We just did last week and I can't tell you how many like people were like refreshed. They're like, we love the, like the disheveled look just as much. So I really appreciate you putting that voice out there and like trailblazing it too.
Sometimes
it takes a little bit of courage.
It's impossible for me to keep my eyes open in the photo.
Right now I'm like, open your eyes, Shelby.
It's not nap time, Candace.
Open it up. I can't with it. Well, so you just mentioned a few minutes ago that you went through a divorce. So how has that changed your
pivot towards your business as well? Have you taken a new outlook on that since taking on this new mentality and kind of like, I'm a new Candace?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when it was happening, that Taylor Swift song came out where she's like, old Taylor's can't come to the phone right now because she's dead. I heard that. Like, I'm not like a huge like pop music fan, but I heard that and was like, yes, that's the mentality that I'm taking. So, I mean, my marriage was super short. And it was really difficult. We'd been struggling for a long time, should not have been married in the first place. And I kind of took that as like my role or as my job to be like, okay, like shit happens. And like, I'm going to empower women to like leave toxic relationships and realize that they're okay on their own. And that the goal in life for us women is not to like get married and have kids. Like, if you want that, that's great. And if you don't, that's also cool. And you're awesome just the way that you are on your own doing the amazing things that you're doing. So that's definitely an approach that I started taking, which I think you can tell on my more personal Instagram, because I do keep the Edgy Veg Instagram to be more food focused. But on the personal Instagram, it's all about empowering women to just be badass and live their best lives. So that definitely helped me realize that. I became very dependent in my past relationship and I had to learn how to be independent. And I just kind of want to share that fire with women around me.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can imagine how hard it is to go through a heartbreak like that, but to find that that is fueling your enlightenment has also got to be just rewarding, you know, in and of itself.
Absolutely. What are learning how to self-soothe is a huge thing. I mean, I was in that relationship for 6 years and I always had someone, I was kind of leaned on that person to make me feel better. And I never learned how to be emotionally mature enough to soothe myself and make myself feel better. So that's been an amazing journey that I really love sharing with the women in our community.
That's fantastic. What is something that you've learned about yourself now that is surprising you? Like, holy shit, I did not know that I can do that, but high five, new Candace.
I mean, definitely being more open on social. I mean, some people see it as TMI, but for me, it's been, I found myself being, maybe selfish is the wrong word, but you know what? We're going to use it. I was a bit more selfish then. And it was always about my career. And I now find the time to like go out and meet people and make time for more people because I do have that space and I'm not, you know, confined to my relationship and confined to my condo and thinking that like the only thing that mattered was my career. I've learned to loosen up a little bit, which is amazing. It's very freeing when you're not, you know, shackled by your own mind of like perceived perfectionism.
That is so moving. I feel so. Did you have to have a new sense of what it was to be alone, but not alone?
Absolutely. I mean, for so long, I was like, I'm alone. I'm lonely. And I had a girlfriend that was like, I'm insulted by that statement. Like, I'm here like twice a week and you have this person and you have this person. You're not alone and you're not lonely. Like, you're fine. Maybe you should look inward. And so that's what I did. I started doing these amazing Pilates dance classes that we have here in Toronto. And I mean, it really just saved my life most days when I had anxiety. And it took me some time to like just kind of sit with myself and become okay sitting with myself and fall back in love with myself as opposed to looking for that love outward, like from some other person, whether it's that relationship is romantic or not. So falling back in love with myself and liking myself was a big deal for me.
That's fantastic. I mean, I feel like that takes people years to do. And I'll be honest, I mean, if you were in a marriage that you said, you know, it shouldn't have happened from the get-go, but you're lucky that it only took you less than a year to figure that out. I mean, I've had friends that have gone through 10 years of marriage and I'm like, you don't get that time back. And they were unhappy for so long. So hats off to you for being like, you know what? No, I need more for myself about this. And I don't think that aspect is being selfish. I think that's being self-aware, which is, you know, something that as you get older, you start to realize the difference between the two, but it's very important that you listen to yourself and you understand that your needs are very, very important.
It's not self, fish. It's selfless.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that so much better.
Yes. And it's so amazing, the therapy of movement.
Yes. Brittany and I are really big into yoga. And I think for both of us, we feel the same way. I mean, we tell people all the time, like, you know, what we get out of yoga isn't necessarily like the physical aspect. It is the, you know, being able to sit in those dark spaces and in those quiet spaces and understanding that what's going on in your mind, like, you don't want to just shove those thoughts away. You want to acknowledge them, take what serves you, and then leave the rest.
Yeah,
exactly. And that, that took me a long time to realize. I used to be a big like fitness head. I did a lot of training in my early 20s. And I really, it was always from more of like a vanity perspective. But yoga for me, it's really the only way I can meditate. I'm just not a meditator. Like, I sit there and it's physically painful for me to sit with my thoughts. But if I move, if I do, you know, a few flow sequences, my mind just kind of, it stops working in like a really beautiful way where it's just clear. And because of the movement, then I can meditate. And then, you know, I'll go take a shower and all my answers will come to me. So movement has definitely become a very, very, very important part of my healing. Like whether it's yoga or dance, I'm a terrible dancer. Like, it's awful, but I love it. It makes me feel so good. So that's been another thing that I've turned to as well.
Oh, that's great. I love that you embrace the what you don't love. I mean, I personally, I do not like dance. I don't feel like I'm good at it. I did it for a long time growing up. I did competitive in cheerleading, and you
cannot drag her to a dance floor.
No, she
hates it.
I'll go kicking and screaming.
Like, how are we friends? Like, I'm the first one on the dance floor. Do not leave.
And then I'm like dragging her off. I'm like, babe, we've got to go. The Uber's here. We got to go.
And I'm like, no, one more song.
I'm the first one on the dance floor too. And I'm awful at it. Like, I have no rhythm, but we have this dance club. It's like a house music club here in Toronto. And it's so dark. And people are like, it's so dark, you can't see anything. I'm like, that's the point. So us terrible dancers can be terrible and like work through our shit and no one can see us.
Yes, right. Wiggle in misery, please.
We're going to Toronto. That's where Shannon will make her dance floor debut. Okay. Is in Toronto.
Got it.
I will take you out. I would love that.
I'll dance with you, girl. I'll dance with you all day long. In fact, my son last night, we were watching, okay, so we're really obsessed with The Greatest Showman right now, which I mean, that show is just amazing. So, and my son was dancing to it. Oh, there's Georgie.
My dog is a constant, she's like the third voice on the Crazy Zen Life podcast. Oh, yeah. She's always in every episode.
I get it. I've been, when I'm not talking, I've been putting this on mute because mine are so loud.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, good.
But anyway, so we're watching The Greatest Showman and it was like one of the songs and he starts dancing and he's like, oh mom, I'm an awful dancer. I was like, there is no such thing as bad dancing.
Yeah.
There's no such thing. I was like, everybody can dance. And he's like, oh. And then like I said those words and like I started dancing with him and it was like one of these cool moments. He's like, oh, I can just move. I was like, you just move your body. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It was this great feeling. Who's to say that it's terrible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not Simon Cowell over here. Like, go, do it. Move your body, son. I love it.
That is awesome. Okay, so we just have a couple more questions. What is what's like the coolest thing that the Edgy Veg has allowed you to do? Like, whether it's, I mean, we know that you're a super decorated award-winning culinary vegan, which is super badass. But whether it's, you know, culinary wise or just lifestyle wise, like what's like the coolest thing that this is presented as an opportunity?
It's definitely meeting all the people that I've been able to meet. So when I did the cookbook tour, I was able to go on some pretty awesome like daytime talk shows. Like I did Dr. Oz, which was
that's cool. Awesome.
Yeah. And we have one in Toronto called The Social, which is just this, it's like the Canadian version of The View. And I actually got to go walk and do an interview on the New York Stock Exchange floor. So that
was that's really cool. Amazing.
Yeah, so things like that, like they're a bit superficial. But like how many people can say that they've been on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange? Like my like inner nerd came out for that one for sure. But it's just meeting all these amazing people who, I mean, when you live online and your career is online, you don't realize how many people you kind of touch every day. So when we did book signings and people were coming out saying, you know, I really wanted to be vegan and it was so hard for me. And, you know, I had a lot of guilt because I love animals. And then your carnivore approved recipes helped make that easier or made it easier for my family. Like those are the moments that I really love. Because you get messages here and there, but when you actually see the person and you get to talk to them, like that's really special. That's definitely some of my favorite moments.
Oh, I love that. Well, what is something that you would tell somebody who is interested in dipping their toe into this lifestyle? How would you tell them to get started?
So I always say like going, I mean, it's a terrible saying it, but I don't know another one, cold turkey, quote unquote, it doesn't work for everyone, right? So my tip has always been cut one thing out first. Do that for a few weeks or a month and then cut out the next thing. So for me, I cut out meat first and then I cut out dairy, like visible dairy. And then I cut out visible eggs. And then I cut out, like when I say visible dairy, I mean like scrambled eggs or like a glass of milk versus cake where it's kind of baked in or used in the icing or whatever. And then like the third month, then I cut out like anything that's baked with those things. So just like taking it easy, being okay and compassionate with yourself as well. Like don't beat yourself up if you quote unquote fail, or slip up or make a mistake. Like, nope, there are vegan police, but they're not in your home. So have some compassion with yourself. And even if, you know, I always say I would love for the entire world to go vegan, but if you just cut out, you know, a meal a week or a couple of meals a week or like a meal a day, like that still makes a huge difference. So it's finding what's right for most people and making sure that for me, I always say like lead with the fork and not with, you know, protesting and yelling at people. We're more likely to listen to you if you're nice. So yeah, just taking it slow and doing it at a speed that works for you is probably the best tip that I have.
I love that
too, because I think what you learn along the way, like just removing like one thing, you have a better, like, I guess, scientific method. Like you know, if you eliminate all the variables and then you're like, well, which one worked? So if you just take one at a time, you're like, oh, okay. Meat makes me feel like this.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When I eat dairy, it makes me feel like this.
Exactly. And you can like it for the dairy, for example, like it's easy to go and like get almond milk. And, you know, find a vegan cheese and then that's your base and you work with that for a while and you find out that you can still make the same ingredients just using those substitutions. And then you cut out the meat. Then you can go and get some veggie ground round. And then you're like, oh, last week I just cut out the dairy on my lasagna and I used these plant-based options. Now I'm also going to cut out the ground beef and use the plant-based option. And so telling people, I always tell people like, keep the recipes that you love, just substitute them. Because if you didn't like kale when you weren't vegan, you're not going to like it just because you're vegan.
I need to get on like whoever the PR people are for kale. I just want them on my team because they just turned kale around and they now did. It's like this crazy, amazing green that before was just a decoration on a salad bar. Like,
I mean, they're on t-shirts.
Right.
Like how did you
like flower days?
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, or filler in like flower bouquets and flower beds. Like in here, we have kale in our actual flower beds on the side of the road.
Yeah. We use it in the States to decorate salad bars like that. It goes in between like the things that are on a salad bar.
Like at the Sizzler or Ponderosa, like, you know, at those discount salad bars, like that's what the filler was, like to separate the cottage cheese from the canned peaches.
Yeah.
Like that's what it was. I know, so bad, so bad. Yeah. Okay. So we end every podcast with a couple of questions and they're really kind of goofy. So, but I know your quirky self is going to love them. All right, Shannon, you have the first one.
Okay. So are you team wine or team coffee?
Ooh, team wine. I recently cut out coffee. So wine is dear to me.
You have one vice. You can't have two. Okay. So I got to think of one. Oh, okay. This is one of my favorite questions. So if you're driving in the car or walking down the street, what is your favorite song to jam out to?
Like, you don't care how you look if you're dancing down the street or if your windows are rolled down too much. Like, you're just jamming out.
Ooh, what's my favorite song? Ray Charles, What I Say, Part 1 and 2.
We'll put that on our Spotify mix. I like it.
It's a good shower song too.
Okay.
A good shower song.
I typically don't listen to anything in the shower. I'm thinking a lot in the shower, or I'm trying to avoid the ever so present knock from one of my children. Mom, how much longer? I need a snack. I'm like, is your dad out there? Where's your dad?
I'm usually like my husband being like, are you done yet? I'm like, no. Go away.
Go, people. Get out of the room.
Eyeballs all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so I have one more. This is a new one. You haven't heard this one yet.
Oh, yay.
Okay, so are you a toilet paper over the roll or under the roll?
Over the roll.
Thank you.
Packages are under the roll.
Have you ever changed someone else's toilet paper in their house if they do it the quote-unquote wrong way?
Every single time.
Oh, my God. Girl, you're one of us.
I don't want to look for it. There's a lot going on in the bathroom.
I don't understand. Like, how is it natural to pull up to rip off? I just don't get it.
And you know what? If they don't have one of those, like, if it's one of those, like, hook toilet paper hangers that, you know, where it's not secure, and if you pull up, like, it comes off the hanger thing all the time, and then you have it all over the floor, and then you have to re-roll it. It's just a disaster. And
it is.
To get with the times, it's 2019. Let's just go with over the roll.
Over the roll. Thank you, Candace. Thank you.
I'm so surprised you said 2019. I'm like, I'm over, like, saying Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Is anyone else over that? Like, when do you stop? I'm like, it should be January 2nd.
Yes, definitely.
Like, I'm like one of those people, like, don't stop asking me, like, how's your new year? I'm like, last week it was great. Yeah, we're good.
Let's all move on with our lives.
Like, you know, how's your new year going? I'm here.
I'm in it. So
I just don't understand, like, and I don't do well with these kind of questions. I'm like, okay, like, do me at you honestly, or just fill your day with more words? I don't know what you want.
I'm alive. Tangent. Does that count?
Cool. But just my mild New Year's Eve rant. I'm like, or New Year's rant. I'm like, okay, all right, come on, let's just get over it. If one person says it, I'm over it. I'm like, it's not the new year. It happened. We're good. Ball dropped. Done.
You're wrong with your life already.
Yeah, move on.
That's awesome.
All right, it's been so much fun having you on.
Thank you, Candace, so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Yay. Okay, before we go, how can everyone find you?
Yeah, so my Instagram is @edgyveg. You can also find me at theedgyveg.com. And then my YouTube channel, you can just type into the search box, The Edgy Veg, and I will come up.
All the things pop up, and whoever wants to, like, lose their mind on an afternoon and just watch your videos, it's so great. I highly recommend it. Oh, it's a great Sunday. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, ladies. This was so much fun. What a great way to start the week.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.